such a long time looking out for you, but you're not here. What's another year? I've been waking such a long time reaching out.
A reminder of the way we were, Johnny Logan and his winning Eurovision entry back in 1980. Well, fast forward more than 45 years and several European broadcasters are expected to announce over the coming days whether they'll take part in next year's Eurovision Song Contest. Last night, RTE joined three other public broadcasters in withdrawing from the contest. This followed the decision of the European Broadcasting Union, which runs the event, to allow Israel to take part. For the latest, let's talk to our arts and media correspondent, Evelyn O'Rourke. Evelyn, lots of developments over the past 24 hours. Just a brief reminder, first of all, how did we get to this point?
I have to say, hearing that song brought a tear to the eye.
God, doesn't it bring you back?
It does, but it just also reminds us of how important as a cultural thing the Eurovision is in the hearts and minds of Irish people, you know, and people really kind of care about this story. Mm. So the timeline as such was, you know, we knew obviously that things were coming to a head about discussions from EBU members about Israel's participation in Eurovision next year. So yesterday they gathered in Geneva for this General Assembly and they were sort of discussing and talking through these proposed ideas about changing guidelines around systems, around voting systems, things like the public vote going from 20 to 10, adding juries back into the semi-final, and also that they were going to commit to further strengthening their monitoring of the voting systems, right? So I was sort of explaining, the journalists weren't in the room as such, so we were trying to work this out. It was a bit muddy at one point, but it looked like there was a vote on that happening. It was called a secret vote at the time, but we have obviously the results since, and really that was overwhelmingly accepted. That then paved the way. Then the EBU said, look, if everybody is pretty much agreeing with these measures, then the deal now is, if you want to participate, once you comply with these rules, you're free to participate. That, of course, was seen as making keeping the path clear for Israel to continue participating in the competition. So quickly, within minutes of that really happening, the Netherlands, their broadcaster was out saying, we're withdrawing. Then obviously RTE followed Slovenia and Spain. And the significance of Spain, of course, being that it's one of the big five, that means that they contribute more money, you know, they give a fairly hefty amount of money to the EBU to help fund the Eurovision, amongst other things. Them withdrawing is significant because there's a financial bill clocking up with Eurovision every year. If you've one of your big five that's pulled out, that really carries some heft with it. So going to bed last night, we knew we had those four broadcasters that made that call. Then today, all eyes on countries like Belgium, countries like Iceland. Now, Iceland have said that they're going to meet, I think, on Wednesday to make their decision. But then just shortly, a short time ago, Belgium have confirmed that they will participate. They are going to go ahead and be part of the lineup in Vienna next May. So as I speak to you now, there's been no shift on the four broadcasters who've boycotted as such. There isn't another name there as such, but we do know Belgium will participate. I don't know, and we don't know yet about countries like Iceland.
Evelyn, thank you very much for bringing us up to date, our arts and media correspondent there. For more on this, we can talk to Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, who's a broadcast and legal historian at University College Cork. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
As of now, and obviously we have a bit of a way to go yet, it looks like most countries will be taking part in next year's contest. So how significant is the decision by Ireland and a few others to boycott the event?
Well, I suppose, first off, Rachel, it shouldn't really be a choice between conscibility and attending what should have been an innocuous singing competition, which was founded in 1956. So it's interesting to take a look at the fact that, I suppose, Israel has always been kind of controversial from its entry in 1973 and the fact that it's not a European country. And of course, we also have Australia. So I think the EBU have a certain culpability here that they haven't really been monitoring what's been happening over the years, particularly in the 1980s, 1990s, with the fall of a lot of Eastern Bloc countries, and you had this bloc voting and it became very sort of geopolitical. Now, it was good to hear yesterday that they're talking about reforming the voting, because that's one of the biggest areas of controversy, that there's huge diasporic voting. People are voting for their own And one of my suggestions would be, in terms of a future, would be bigger juries as well that would have more of eclectic taste rather than just all of this voting. Certainly, the EBU, I think, as well, have sort of drawn this upon themselves that they haven't been vigilant enough over the years in having oversight over political, anti-political content. And that's just not Israel alone. Ukraine has had very controversial ones as well. But I think, in particular, I did not find it surprising that Germany is not withdrawing, because Germany has had a very sensitive history with, you know, Holocaust memories and so forth, and they're just not going to go there politically.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as Evelyn was saying there, Eurovision has long been part of Irish cultural life, but given that we're no longer particularly good at it, has its importance to us dimmed a bit?
Well, I suppose it does have. And, you know, when you think of Dana, when she sang All Kinds of Everything, she literally didn't think that it was going to be All Kinds of Everything in the Eurovision. And that has moved away immeasurably from its remit that was supposed to promote, as I said, affiliations. And it really is no longer a singing competition. In fact, I do not even know if there's any mandatory vocal kind of emphasis on it.
And yet, to be fair, some great tunes have won over the past few years.
Well, they have, and I heard recently, you know, Phil Coulter talking about Puppet on a String, and obviously all our wins have been absolutely Rock and Roll Kids, all of those, and they're very, very reflective of Irish cultural life, and it does, a bit like the Rose of Tralee, it does have huge cultural resonance, and there is a poignancy and a sadness that we've had to choose between our political consciousness and taking part in what should have been hitherto, you know, a very innocuous competition, and it's a sad day in a way. I mean, obviously there's huge atrocities going on in the world, but it is sad that this has become so politicised and that it has taken away something that we were really very good at and could continue to be very good at. You know, that was one of the first times when Dana won. You know, her win was a huge form of reconciliation across the bogside there in Derry, and, you know, did an awful lot for Ireland and gave us a lot of confidence in Europe. Now, it's not that we won't be back again, I suppose. It just depends on which way that they affiliate and whether they'll change and whether they will, you know, reassess their political, you know, it's very, very driven. And I think also they should limit the amount of time that people spend together. It's a very long time between the rehearsal and the actual staging of the event. And that does happen to sort of manifest an awful lot of political tensions during the competition itself. And the media, I would have to say, have their own culpability as well, that they do tend to hype up a lot of the politicisation of it. And I think there needs to be a little bit more guidance about how much media intrusion there can be during the rehearsals, you know, whether the whole thing is being dragged out a little bit, but certainly it will be a loss in the sense I hope that we can continue at some stage to be part of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Listen, many thanks for talking to us this afternoon. That was Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill. Now, our reporter Eleanor Burnhill has been out and about over the past couple of hours getting the views of the public on this issue.
I do think we have to take a stance. I don't agree with what the Israeli government is doing, and while I do feel that the song contest is a song contest, I think we still need to show our dissatisfaction with the Israeli government.
I think Ireland in general is doing the right thing with the Israel-Palestine, what do I call it, situation. Yeah, it was a good thing. I hope other countries follow on.
Only heard it yesterday, so not surprised they did, but that's all. I don't know, you know, really don't think it'll make any difference.
Some views from Dublin this morning.